Tonight, James smokes grass with a cow, Mike creates zombie mosquitoes, and we bootleg Chinese DVDs.
Shroudpunk.com.
And I bet you can't guess who this is. Hell, I'm me and I don't even know who this is. But I think if I had to make an educated guess, I would say...
It's not Silent Mike.
No, it's Couch Potato Mike.
I say that because this morning, our time, not your future time that you're listening to this...
Yes, this happens several days from now.
Yeah. Me and Serena were watching YouTube videos, and it's kind of like hopping around on YouTube. And we came across... So, like, I thought it'd be funny to, like, she was asking me at workouts the other day because she started working out and, like, you know, calisthenics sort of bodyweight workouts.
Oh, God.
And I was going to be a smart ass, and I wanted to be like, oh, this is the workout you need to do. So, like, I searched on YouTube, most brutal workout, and, like, the number one result was, like, this big jack dude, and his name was Silent Mike, and I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah.
A big jack dude named Silent Mike?
Yep, big jack black dude that was doing some work. The video quality was so bad, I was like, I can't watch it. But it had like 66,000 views or something.
Yeah, that used to be my nickname years ago, back when I was hard and heavy into fucking Kevin Smith movies, namely Jay and Silent Bob.
Yarp.
Not that I'm not anymore, but it's kind of hard to be that big of a Kevin Smith movie fan when he makes...
Tusk?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And now I'm really hoping Noga Hosers is better.
Yeah. Now you have your own brand. Now you're the Couch Potato Mike.
Damn straight I'm the Couch Potato Mike.
And on that bombshell.
Any fucking way. So other than that, how's your week been?
Not bad. Not bad. Mm. So I started taking some, like, there was this online course that sent me this email to, it's like website traffic, how to increase website traffic and be a better, like, blog entrepreneur and stuff. And I watched the webinar video, and I got some good tips from that. And then they're like, you should consider signing up for our training course. It's only, like, $295 every
3 days.
For, like, two payments or something. Like, or
what? Wait, huh?
I think the total price is, like, $9,000 or $900. Not $9,000, like $900.
Jesus Christ!
But some of the people that take this course, first of all, I'm not paying $295. I'm not. We're done here. That's not even going to happen.
No, you're not.
Even if I was going to, like, not eat food, if the ROI, the return on investment, would be worth it, then, you know, I would probably consider starving or selling stuff. Because this guy makes six figures a month.
A month?
From his blog.
Fucking shit.
Or from his blogs. He has a few.
Is that all it takes for me to starve to make six figures a month? Fucking sign me up and take away my munchies.
Yeah, and busting your ass. Like, lots of. But so anyway, I basically watched this webinar. I got a few tips and tricks and was like, yep, won't be signing up for that. And then, like, a couple days later, they sent me an offer like, hey, why don't you give this online course a try for $1 for 30 days? And I'm like, eh. I mean,
$1 you don't.
Yeah,
miss.
I mean, there's precious little in this universe that I won't be like $1. I better not do that. Like $1. I mean, obviously, I'm gonna, like, I set a reminder, like, must cancel this before the 30 days.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, and he's gonna send out a reminder too, but
don't trust it.
Yeah, I know.
Never trust it.
But there's some good stuff, and yeah, so good stuff there. Speaking of good stuff, I have an ebook.
Yes, you do.
It does not even cost you $1.
No.
It costs you an email. And if you are already an email subscriber, and some of you are, like Matt French, who may or may not have already got the ebook DIY to Survive. If you go to survivalpunk.com webpage, it should pop up a pop-up saying, hey, I have an ebook, give me your email address, and I'll give you a free ebook. All right, there we go. If you don't do that, you can go to I got to double check on the subscribe page if it'll send you there. But if you are a subscriber and you put in your email address again, AWeber just deletes it. Like, it'll send you to the download page. So you can get the ebook, but you won't have to worry about having duplicate emails. Like, my email, the people that I pay to send you guys emails, they're like, oh, okay, duplicate emails, and throws it away, but it will send you to the download page anyway. So, might as well download it. Eventually, probably in a week or so, it'll be on Amazon for 99 cents. Jeff Radke and Serenity keep saying I should not give it away for free and sell it. They're like,
so get out of that fucking corner, dude.
Yeah, I mean, Serenity did have a good point. Like, I do give away a lot of shit. Like,
you really do.
112 podcasts, 500 articles.
All for free. They haven't cost anybody anything except their time and consideration.
Yeah, and, you know, like, I can't, like, I would love to pay Couch Potato Mike for his appearance on the podcast.
And I would love to get paid.
Exactly. But as it is right now, I think the money coming in...
I think I've made $50 off this podcast in like the last fucking...
couple years, yeah. Yeah, I mean, at this point, the money coming in doesn't even... like, it basically covers, like, maybe not even quite, like... so there's hosting fees, there's domain, like, registration fees.
Yep.
There's email service provider, like...
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so... yeah.
Yep.
So if you join the Zeropunk Army, it helps offset that. But for free, though, just go download my ebook. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you cheap bastards.
Yeah. So...
and on that bombshell...
let's jump into our... what do we get coming up today?
Coming up on the show today, sir, we're going to be talking about how Hillary Clinton is killing people. We're going to be talking about how the FDA is trying to start the zombie apocalypse. We're going to be talking about a bunch of C's, see this, see that. We're going to be talking about
the 10 C's of survival.
C.
Senor.
We're going to be talking about how Microsoft has now gotten into the bathware business. We're going to be talking about why you should feed cows grass. And I'm going to be discussing DVDs later.
Ah.
Yeah, I changed my rant.
There you go.
So let's just jump right into this crap with Hillary Clinton, assassin.
So, I heard about this, and for once, so I haven't read this particular article, but I have fact-checked at least a portion of this, that it is true. mainstream media blackout. Two prominent anti-Clinton activists found dead in 2 days.
Dun-dun-dun!
The world does have coincidences, but this is just these 2 days, like, the death count of people that are anti-Clinton is... like, pretty high. Like, bam, not in just bam, 2 days.
Bam.
This comes from thedailyliberator.com.
.com!
Washington, D.C. The trail of bodies that follows the Clintons' machine continues to pile up, even during Hillary's run for the White House. As in just the past few days, two notable anti-Clinton activists have died under mysterious circumstances.
Dun dun.
By J. Sermopopoulos.
Like he said.
Exactly.
By Jay, some Greek fucker.
Sermopoulos.
Yeah, Sermopoulos.
Yep.
Sermopoulos.
This article first appeared at the Polis. Free Thought Project. So we're reading a republished article. Renowned anti-Clinton research. Holy shit. There are actually researchers that are anti... like, there are anti-Clinton researchers. Like, instead of researching goddamn tachyon particles, you're researching Clintons?
Why not? You know, the human race, especially Americans, have really got their priorities straight.
Like, this is the kind of researchers I see in, like, Idiocracy. Like, no, we don't study, like, theoretical particles. We study people.
We should have a man on one of the goddamn moons of Jupiter by now, but no, everybody's too busy fucking keeping up with the Kardashians.
Yes.
Sorry, humans piss me off a little.
And they're renowned. So, renowned anti-Clinton researcher and writer for the American Free Press, the AFP, Victor Thorne.
Victor Thorne, that's a good comic book name.
It is. Whose birth name was Scott Robert Mafuka. Makufaka. Makufaka?
Robert Scott Juggalo, let's just call him that.
I definitely like your name is Victor Thorne. He became a supervillain.
Yeah, Robert Scott Juggalo.
Was found dead from a gunshot wound near his home on August 1st. It was his birthday. God damn, what a horrible birthday. and he would have been 54 years old. When questioned about Thorne's death...
Saves money when writing on the tombstone, though.
Yeah. St. College, Pennsylvania police told the AFP that something happened.
No shit, Sherlock.
But refused to confirm even the victim's identity. Now, 4 days later, no further information has been released.
That's because he had more than one name, and they couldn't pronounce either one of them.
Now, 4 days later, no information has been released, nor has an obituary surfaced online.
Wait, if no information's been released, how do we know it's him?
I guess his friends know he's dead.
Okay. Best known for his investigative research on the Clintons, Thorne wrote the Clinton Trilogy, three definitive works that delved into the history of the power couple, including their sordid scandals, Bill Clinton's sexual assaults on multiple women, and the drug running out of Mena, Arkansas, while Clinton was governor of the state.
I gotta stop you for a second. I thought about talking about this article and bashing him. Cosmopolitan.
Wait, what do they have anything to do with anything political? They are just one of those like cheap spank books that your teenage son's going to hide under his bed.
And they pollute your teenage girl's mind with stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I remember seeing a cover one time, like a cover of Cosmo was like, Six how to get the ultimate blowjob.
I think I actually read that one.
Yes, like, ladies, you should try this, this, and this. It's awesome. No, they named Bill and Hillary's marriage as ideal role model marriage.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I am not.
Well, you know, if you think about it, I mean, they're still happily, successfully married, and he's like, and he's said openly, he's like, I could sit and talk to her until at 2 o'clock in the morning. She's my best friend. Yeah, their marriage, yeah, they have a daughter, and they've been married for decades, and apparently they don't give a fuck who fucks.
Basically, yeah. Or rapes. Like, it's okay that he rapes women. That's fine.
My fellow Americans, that's never been proven.
Yeah.
Though AFP released a statement during the motherfucker's family belief that they did not suspect foul play, the nature of his work, including recent successful releases of Crowning Clinton. That sounds so dirty.
Yeah.
While Hillary shouldn't be in the White House and the Hillary and Bill trilogy. Why didn't they just call it the Hilly-Bill trilogy? Hillbillies.
Why don't they have a cute name like Jennifer?
Yeah, there you go. Have left fans highly suspicious of the circumstances. Billary. Billary. Why the hell have we never heard Billary before? Billary Clinton.
There we go.
You just coined that.
Yep.
Copyright survival.
Trademark that shit, yeah.
Fuck yeah. According to the Underground Reporter, the most recent Clinton-connected death was that of Sean Lucas. Lucas was recently featured in a viral video serving the Democratic National Committee and its now ousted head, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, with a class action lawsuit alleging a massive voter fraud scheme for the rigging of the Democratic primary for Hillary Clinton.
If I actually kind of wanted to dig into that, the email scandal that they released and stuff. I want to backtrack for just a second, though, and make a comment.
Okay.
So he was shot and killed.
Yeah.
Family believed that they did not suspect foul play.
He was shot.
But not foul play, though.
Was it suicide? Was he found holding the murder weapon?
I mean, you know, assassins love to do that, though. Like, you just throw in, like, you put gunpowder in your victim's hand and put it to their head and call it a day. Sean Lucas was recently... Mike read that already. There's that motherfucker. While undoubtedly attempting to debunk the Lucas-Clinton connection as they generally operate as an unreliable left-wing political hit squad, Snopes actually confirmed... This I read it on Snopes, actually. That's where I found out. Snopes actually confirmed information about Lucas's death. The outlet said that they contacted Lucas's employer for information about his death, but a distraught person on the phone was unable to confirm anything or offer further details other than Lucas had died on August 2nd. Both of these deaths come on the heels of another suspicious Clinton-connected death in the late June, after former UN President John Ash was found dead. The UN... Holy shit, dude.
Damn.
It's like the celebrity death massacre all over again. The UN claimed that he had died of heart attack. According to the New York Post page 6, suspiciously, that claim was later disputed by local police officers in Dobbs Ferry, New York. What a British-sounding Dobbs Ferry, New York. After... No.
Who said that Ash had died from a crushed throat during a workout accident?
Holy shit, that sounds like prison murder. How long is
this? Well, I mean, if you drop a bar on your throat, you know, like, you fall backwards and the thing falls on your throat and crushes it.
It could happen.
I mean, it's feasible.
Yes. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, according to 2015 report by The Daily Beast, Nig... Wait, what?
Nigga being the mega-rich Chinese national.
In exchange for payments from Nig, among other actions, Ash submitted UN document to the UN Secretary General, who claimed that there was a purported need to build the UN Macau Conference Center, the complaint alleges. Blah, 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 don't care. Adding to the intrigue around Ash's death, an anonymous source who spoke with Page Six said prosecutors had intended to use the fact that Nig had funneled money to the DNC during Bill Clinton's presidency. There we go.
Okay. Yeah, and there you go.
Yes.
If you want to read the rest of the article, go there.
I'm pretty sure me and Mike might be assassinated pretty soon now, because we termed them Billary. I'm pretty sure that makes us anti-Clintonist, right?
I've always been pro-Clinton.
I don't like Hillary.
I'm a big fan of Bill, though. I love Bill Clinton. Always have. And Hillary is a way to get Bill back in the White House. You know, I could just see him. It's like, my fellow American. No, that's the lie. Yeah, I could see that happening. Yeah. I could see him, like, coaching her. No, honey, this is how you do it. This is how you get reelected even after your secretary blows you.
Yeah.
Do you have to keep bringing that up, Bill? Well, she kept bringing it up, giggity-giggity.
Huh.
Oh, by the way, is Family Guy on tonight? I love that show.
I just don't want any more assault weapon bans or any of that bullshit.
No. No, you know what? No, I actually have a theory on this. I think Donald Trump's having them bumped off.
You know what? I actually think Donald Trump...
is the lesser of two evils?
No, I actually think him and... I'm pretty sure him and Hillary are actually, like, best friends.
I wouldn't be a bit fucking surprised, dude.
Yeah, like, apparently they used to hang out back in the day.
Well, that's the thing. And I've heard this from a lot of people. Like, one of the big I can't think of his fucking name right offhand. But one of these big fucking Texans that's always been, like, a supporter of the Republican Party and, like, does campaign, you know, fucking donates to the campaigns and all this shit. They did not want to, this dude and his father, they did not want to fucking donate to Trump. I mean, they were wanting to donate to the guy that, Ted Cruz?
Harry, was it Rick? Was it?
I can't remember his fucking name. But but when it looked like it was going to be Trump and they had to donate to somebody, they met with Trump. They're like, we're only going to give him the money if he meets this criteria and this criteria and this criteria. Met with him. They were going to like meet for like an hour. They wound up staying like an hour and a half longer than that. And he was so fucking charming, they gave him the money without asking any questions. Apparently, one-on-one, up close and personal, when it's just you and Trump, Trump has a way of making you feel like you're the most goddamn important person on the fucking planet. He is just that fucking good. I mean, he's a businessman.
He's a businessman.
He's self-made. Yeah. I mean, he knows how to fucking sell himself and any goddamn thing else there is.
Yeah,
he can be very charming up front.
Yeah.
I've also heard another thing about Trump recently. Fucking rape allegations. Have you heard about those? Underage girls.
I've heard some stuff trying to be... I mean, at this point, the mudslinging is going pretty
good. Oh, yeah,
bad.
It's just all mudslinging. I mean, I honestly don't fucking believe it for the simple fact that... why would Trump ever actually need to rape anybody? I mean, he's rich. I mean, he's insanely rich. The ugliest men in the fucking world could get laid any damn time they want to by anybody they fucking want because they are fucking rich. There's gold diggers are a goddamn dime a dozen. There's even more of them if you pay.
Well, I mean, have you seen his wife?
Have you seen every wife he's had? I mean, it's not like he's lacking for knockouts.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's interesting. We'll see how it plays out. I don't really have a dog.
The only thing I could say, vote third party. Vote third party. Who's the guy that you're supporting?
Gary Johnson. Yeah, well, I still haven't decided I even like care to vote. I don't know. If I vote, it'll probably be for Gary Johnson, but I probably will not vote. I just won't. Although, Libertarian Party is actually blowing up right now. Like, it's getting a lot of media coverage.
Yeah, because of the whole lesser of two evils thing. People are finally getting sick of the goddamn two-party system, especially when these are the two candidates. This is the best that the fucking Americans can put forward.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. You know what? I'm declaring it right now. I'm going to register to vote this year, and I will cast my vote for Johnson.
Yeah. Right now, I think he's at 13% in the polls.
That's fucking huge for a third party, dude.
He needs 2% more to get in the debates.
We need... My fellow real Americans, let's get him that 2%.
Let's be the 2%.
Let's get him that goddamn 2%. I want to see his ass in the first third-party person that will have been in the debate since Ross fucking Perot. And that was a Clinton in that debate as well.
That was in the 90s.
Yeah, that was Clinton Bush.
That was, 30 years, probably?
Because I always like being on stage with some Bush. Giggity, giggity.
Oh, yeah. Let's move on before we, we're not doing terrible. Well, yeah, we're...
Yeah, we're way... Now. Yeah, that's our first news story. Next, anti-Clinton... Oh, wrong one. Okay, the FDA approves genetically modified mosquitoes for release in Florida. The method would target the AIDS... Aegypti mosquitoes that transmit Zika and other diseases.
Yeah, I think they're... I think their nickname, Egyptian, Egypti.
Whatever. Before we even get into this, I just want to say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So go ahead and start us off there, Broham.
This just sounds like a fucking horror movie, sci-fi movie beginning.
Guys! It sounds like something they'd be saying, in voiceover over the beginning of any zombie flick.
Yeah.
Like 28 weeks ago, yeah. It started with some tainted beef.
Yes.
It started when they released the mosquitoes into the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
This comes from our friends at popularscience.com, popsci.com. Today, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration...
FDA.
...gave its support for a biotech company to release genetically modified mosquitoes into the Florida Keys... in an effort to stop the spread of diseases, including Zika. You know what? Zika's been around forever, and it's never been a problem. You've never heard about it until this year. It's like, I think it was a ruse to release this fucking, death mosquito.
Why would they need to release the mosquito?
You'll find out.
Oh, God.
The green light comes after months of long debates, including comments from the general public. Biotech company Skynet. Oxitec submitted a draft of its plan in March to release thousands of genetically modified male Aedes aegypti mosquitoes into the area. This is the species of mosquito that carries and transmits Zika, Dengue, and other nasty diseases.
Yes, because we need more of that in the atmosphere.
Keep listening. But Oxitec's version of the mosquitoes come with a genetic twist. M. Night Shyamalan wrote this shit.
Oh my god.
A gene that wipes out any of its offspring they produce with wild female mosquitoes before the baby mosquitoes even reach reproductive age. It's a death gene.
Oh my god.
They have a suicide, end of the line gene.
That's kind of like the plot to fucking, Inferno.
Oh yeah, but worse. Not one third death.
Sweet. The hope is that this will curb the local mosquito population, reducing the risk of diseases spreading. After reviewing the draft, the FDA has called the proposal to have a finding of no significant impact. However, this doesn't mean Oxitec is free to release the mosquitoes whenever. Oxitec now needs to gain additional approval from the Florida Keys Mosquito Control District. That's a thing, the Florida Keys Mosquito Control District?
I guess so.
Who will vote on the proposal this fall. That said, the FDA approval is a major step forward for the use of this type of GMO mosquito in general. That's especially true given the recent news of a, so far, small outbreak of Zika in the Miami area, which health officials say was transmitted by local mosquitoes.
What the fuck, people?
They're trying to fight fire with fire.
Give me your best. Give me your best. Jeff Goldblum. Nature will find a way.
Nature will find a way.
Yeah, no fucking shit it will! You can't genetically alter a species to make it non-reproducible death genes!
No, that won't happen.
Because?
Nature will find a way.
It fucking will! You can't, it's not gonna work.
No. You're gonna be like, oh, we're just gonna genetically modify these mosquitoes so when they reproduce, their babies die before they can reproduce. No, they're gonna fucking evolve into like monster demon beast creatures.
No, what are you gonna do? You're gonna release these mosquitoes into the wild, and what are you gonna do? You're gonna find the mosquitoes and give them tiny little ultrasounds to see what's happening. Little tiny morning after pills or abortions. No. Life finds a way.
I just know, like, one day, because this is episode 112 of the Survival Punk podcast, episode, like, 378. It's to be like, okay, me and Mike are in the last holdout. The mosquitoes have the rest of the United States.
You know, you realize...
We fucking warned you, bitches.
You realize, like, the hardcore listeners of this shit, the ones that have signed up to become Survival Punk Army members, are just going to be sitting there in the apocalypse waiting. Those motherfuckers said they'd be here in Hummers.
Yeah. You know what? I may actually write that. Like, go into, like, to the Survival Punk Army backroom thing and, like, put, like, in case of emergency, we will come pick you up. You get that, like, when you sign up for the Survival Punk membership, if the apocalypse happens, me and Mike will come get you.
You know what? If the apocalypse happens, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to try to steal one of those gigantic six-wheel Mercedes.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
You know what might make a good zombie vehicle? Or the worst. Like, either A, the best zombie vehicle, or like, yeah, James, you fucked up. We're dead now.
A Sherman tank?
One of those goddamn construction, like, mountain movers.
Oh, God. They kind of move slowly, but they can crush everything in their path.
Yes!
Well, it depends on what kind of zombies we're dealing with. If we're dealing with traditional Romero, yes, that's fine. But if we're dealing with some goddamn fucking...
Fast-climbing smart ones?
I am legend fucking... World War Z fucking zombies. Yeah, that's not gonna work.
Yeah, we're fucked.
Man, the world, oh god, I know you fucking hate that Brad Pitt movie because of the book, but the goddamn zombies in that fucking movie were utterly fucking, those are the most terrifying goddamn zombies I've ever seen. They fucking run and leap and everything.
Yeah.
And the transformation is very violent and takes 12 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm in that zombie apocalypse, hand me a gun, I'm putting myself out of my misery.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
I still need to get that on an audiobook for you to listen to.
Wing, but I never had a nutsack.
Yeah, so, sorry if you guys live in Florida. Be wary of this.
Especially the Keys. Sorry, people in the Contra Republic.
You know
fucking Key West? They at one point tried to secede from the Union under the name the Contra Republic.
It did not.
They fought off fucking the Coast Guard, the U.S. Coast Guard, like throwing fucking stale bread at them. I love Key West. It's so fucking, I gotta get down there. Yeah. Eventually I'm gonna go back to Florida and I've gotta take a trip to the Florida Keys. I've always wanted to go across those sea bridges.
I just wanna go to Florida. I've never been.
You've never been to Florida?
I've never been to Florida.
I'm going back in 5 years.
Well.
I'm saving up money. I mean, I'm saving like $1,500 to $2,000 per fucking income tax refund to get my whole family down there for two weeks.
There you go.
And I'm fucking doing it, dude.
I'm going to go to Japan for 2 weeks or a month. Anyway, main topic of
me want to fuck some scrunty-eyed chicks.
Main topic of the show. So, I mentioned last week in our mini kits episode how whenever I build any of my kits, whether it be a mini kit, a bug out kit, you know, a bug out Altoids kit, a full bug out bag, a get home bag, a good bag, a shit hit the fan bag, a fucking, inch bag, any bag ever. I build it to keep it like as light and simple as possible and to cover all my needs. I build it using Dave Canterbury's 10 C's of Survival.
Have you ever seen survivalists use fanny packs?
Nothing Fancy uses it to carry all of his EDC stuff in it, so he always has EDC stuff. Because normally, I'm going to get back on top of it. Normally, when people are like, oh, this is my EDC kit, and you act like you see him out on the street, you're like, dude, let me see your EDC. Like, where's your pocket knife? Oh, it's at home. I forgot it.
And it's not a fucking EDC if you don't have it on you.
No, it's a someday carry.
Everyday carry.
Yes. Dave Canterbury's 10 C's of Survival.
I've recently added a deck of cards to my bug out bag, by the way.
There you go.
Well, you have to stave off boredom.
You do. Let's read the 10 Seasons of Survival, and then let's
they're divided into two. They're divided into two sets of five.
Yes, the first five. So if you're gonna build your kit, you want to like always make sure the first five are in there.
Yeah, you never
the second five are like. Yeah, you gotta have like after you get those first five in there. If you're like, oh, totally, I'm like on a mini kit, it gets kind of squirrely sometimes to get everything in there. But get the best first five you can get, and then move on to the second five, and then move on to your like tertiary personal items that you need.
Yep, it says never head into the boonies without these first five of the 10 C's of survival. Number one, James.
Cutting tool. Ultimately, this means a sturdy, full tang survival knife.
Tang.
Something that you should, and even that, like, technically, if you carry, like, a Mora, like what I have here, a
what
Mora.
What does that mean, full tang?
Let me finish reading this one. So, full tang survival knife, something that should always be on your person in the backcountry, designed with 4 to 5 inch carbon steel blade, a flattened back edge, 90-degree spine, basically, so you can strike a ferrocerium rod. It's typically the most dependable and versatile. Well-made survival knives will allow you everything from clean fish to split kindling. For those of you who don't know, a full tang. So if you've got a knife, and you know, if you're forging it, you have, like, the blade area, and then you have the part that goes into the handle. So a full tang, that blade extends all the way to the back of your knife.
That way, you're actually gripping part of the actual metal.
And it goes all the way through to the back end, usually, and it's like
rounded over. A lot less chance of it breaking.
Right, unlike, like, you know,
like a Rambo survival knife, which is a fucking
welded on there.
Yeah, it's welded on there. The handle is hollow, so you can put stuff in it, which is called a survival knife. But those have a bad habit of breaking off of the fucking handle.
Yeah, they're shitty. Like, and okay, so an exception to that rule of the full tang survival knife would be. Mora knives. Mora knives are not full tang. Mora knives are a rat tail tang. So it goes down
partway.
Yeah, it's like a little like a fucking rat tail, like a little sliver of metal that goes down into the handle and comes back up. Just go all the way through. So Moras technically are not as strong as they could be if they were full tang, but they are fucking strong.
So it's a partial tang, which is better than no tang.
Yeah, it gets more complicated. Like you have like. Rat tail tang, partial tang, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and most men will agree, you need as much tang as possible.
Yes, not like the survival knife, so, but Moras are good. If you're like, you know, if all I can afford right now is a Mora knife, there you go. And if you're, like I said, if you're building like a mini kit, you're not going to fit like, you know, an SE Rat 3 in there, a 3-inch survival knife. Or, see, like, you know, you only have so much room. In them... Things like a small, decent pocket knife that's big enough to fit there. The Gerber EAB, which is a foldable box cutter, basically. That's super thin, super light. It may be on my
missing
table.
Missing from your table?
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes it's hanging out up here on the table. Ah, whatever.
They can't see it anyway.
Yeah.
You could have held up a fucking nothing.
I got a fucking lightsaber right here. I put that in my mini kits all the time. Laser. Yeah, so you gotta sort of like fit it to your kit and then get the best you can get in their kit. Like, you know, like I said, your mini kit, you have to go for something smaller. Your main bug out bag, you should have a decent, reliable survival knife. And like I said before, like there was that $25 knockoff K-bar that I bought from the gun show for $25.
The one that you tried
it's
to break?
Indestructible, yeah.
And the goddamn thing's made of, like, fucking diamond and kryptonite and children's wishes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're like, James, all I have in my like, for my main bug-out bag right now, because I'm a broke-ass motherfucker and I can't afford anything, is this $25 knife, just like you said. Fucking, you're good to go for the apocalypse, buddy.
Fuck yeah.
You know, on the other hand, though, like, I've seen some shitty knives, and there's no point. If all you can afford right now is a Mora knife for $12 on Amazon... Get that.
Yeah, fucking get that. And, you know, while we're speaking about knives, I just want to throw a shout-out to Matt, who actually gave me one of my current EDCs, the credit card knife. I always keep that thing is always on me. I always have my wallet on me. That thing is always in my wallet. So, once again, thanks, Matt. I've used it, like, 3 times in the last 2 days.
Hell yeah. Number two.
Number two. The second C after cutting tool is combustion. Being able to spark a fire is a critical in survival situation. In inclement weather, it's the first order of business, fundamental to maintaining your core temperature. Additionally, a blaze can help you advertise your location to potential rescuers.
carry spark-catching materials, such as the Pathfinder Mini Inferno Tender, or Gorilla Tape alongside a ferro rod and a good lighter.
Well, there you go.
I always recommend carrying a lighter. Yeah. Hell, I've got two. I don't smoke anymore. I don't smoke cigarettes. Oh, and I want to announce to everybody, because, you know, you've announced to everybody that, you know, you've been sober for how long now?
Next month. Next month will be 3 years.
Next month was... fucking bones, dude. Yeah. Sorry. That's just awesome. But I have been cigarette-free for over a month now.
Hell yes.
Yeah, I finally quit smoking, and it was just time. Yeah. It's funny, I didn't use any gimmicks or anything like that. Just one day, I just stopped fucking smoking. I had slacked down a little by little, but yeah, I just have not smoked in over a month.
That's badass.
And I quit smoking during one of the most stressful fucking weeks you could imagine. The week that my car threw a rod straight through the fucking oil pan. The week that I fucking went completely broke and wiped out all my emergency savings.
Yeah.
I quit smoking that week somehow. Because every time I quit smoking, disaster happens. But anyway.
You know what we need to do? We need to
still carry a bunch of lighters on me. I've got two lighters in my new car.
We should have Jeff Radke from the Lost Skills Podcast come down here, take your old Cavalier through the rod, and make it to like a Mad Max apocalypse vehicle. We'll put like a fucking like snow plow on the front with like flames shooting like rod pipes out the back and shit.
You heard that, Jeff. Get your ass down here and turn my Cavalier into a fucking Mad Max vehicle. We'll call it the Dimitri.
We will call it the Dimitri. Yeah. Yeah, so, or, you know, combustion.
The Dimitri, used guys edition.
I got some things I ordered from the Wish website that were, reusable matches? Like, it was...
Oh, dude, did you see that video, by the way?
No.
My wife shared it. How to make your own waterproof matches.
Oh, I did, yeah. I just threw away some paraffin.
Like fucking paraffin wax, and that's step one. Step three is like candle wax. I can't remember. Oh, yeah. Step one is fucking coat them in fucking normal wooden matches, coat them in paraffin wax.
Yeah.
Step two, after that's dried, fucking paint them with nail polish. Step three, coat those in candle wax, and you've got waterproof fucking matches.
We definitely need to do
that. It even in the video showed them soaking them in water first and then lighting them.
Yeah.
How fucking awesome is that?
Do they mention tinder? They, not so much. I do like to carry tinder. Coconut oil soaked cotton pads are my favorite. Like, they always have, like, they have so many more purposes.
I'm still so impressed by the coconut.
Yeah, that, literally the best fire tinder starter we've found so far has been coconut-based organic
sex lube. the coconut.
It burned the longest, the cleanest.
It was just awesome.
It was, yeah.
It was awesome. But
that has like my most views too.
Oh, really?
Some of them, yeah. It was on YouTube.
Even more than the pine bacon?
No, there wasn't a video. Well, it was a video, but it never got turned into a video because I couldn't save the files and shit.
Well, anyway, number three, your turn. Cover.
Cover. A common mistake committed by plenty of outdoor recreationalists is neglecting to include an emergency shelter in their go-to hiking packs. Even if you're simply setting out for an afternoon trail hike, you need the ability to quickly erect.
Erect.
It's not erect.
Yeah, you need to erect when you're out in the woods.
Yeah. Precipitation and cold-resistant covering to keep you dry and warm in the event of unforeseen night out in the backwoods. A poncho, a wool blanket, a tarp, or even a plastic garbage bag will serve you well. Yeah, in all my mini kits, I throw those 55-gallon drum liners.
Got one in my bug-out bag.
That'll keep you away from the elements.
Damn straight.
You know, and there's even, like, fancy ways, like, tie it up so, that, like, you make, a tube tin off of it. Like, so, I actually, it's easy enough to explain it without even doing a video or anything that you guys can be like, I know what you're talking about. Like, get a couple, like, lay the bag, the 55-gallon, like, drum liner on the ground. You know, like you would be sleeping in it. And like just temporarily like put four rocks in it in the corners, like where you would be sleeping so it's spread out like flat.
Right.
And then get like a little smooth pebble.
Uh-huh.
Put it in the end, like where your feet would go. So like you'd be in the open end, obviously, and then in the end you put it in the top part at the end. So you have two rocks in the bottom at the end, and then in the top corner, like a triangle, you put it in your smooth pebble. On the outside, you take
You take an end of rope, and you noose it around there.
Noose it around the pebble through the plastic bag.
And then tie it off on a tree.
That way you not put a hole in the bag.
Yeah, so it's still reusable. And then you do like the same thing to the other side. You can just like tie like a sheet knot or something, or use the rock and run that to a tree. So you've made a tent, basically. You've made a tube tent.
Oh, there you go.
Or you can just like lay on the ground like a biddy sack.
like an old biddy.
Yeah, or cover. I like to carry a hammock.
See, I also keep like a poncho in my bug out bag as well. Actually, I have two ponchos in there,
which is great. I carry in my main kit. I carry a military surplus poncho, which is also basically a tarp. I mean, it's a poncho and a tarp. You tie out points and everything. So,
mm-hmm. All right, number four, container, an ideal container for the wilderness. For wilderness use is a 32-ounce stainless steel water bottle. Staying hydrated is fundamental in an emergency, and if you want a durable vessel for storing and carrying water. The high-quality metal additionally allows you to boil water or melt snow to render it safe to drink. You don't want to be dealing with gastrointestinal malady on top of your other worries.
Yes. I.e., you don't want the shits.
Yeah,
you're trying to survive.
No Giardia.
Yeah. So, I almost standardized away from... I still have a couple plastic Nalgene bottles, just because I'm just like a thumb away. You know, and I have some cool designs on a couple of them. And so one of the things I like to do on a couple of my Nalgene bottles is just wrap them in duct tape.
Duct tape!
Because it's just another way to store it. Like, it's just another way to store extra duct tape, extra, you know, cordage. If you're going to use your... all metal, like, say, stainless steel, Nalgene, or clean canteen to boil water in, you cannot wrap it in duct tape.
Question. Clean canteen. What the fuck is a clean canteen, and why is it different than a normal canteen?
It's a brand name.
Oh, that's a brand name? Clean?
Yeah, it's... that's one right there. It's just... it's like a... you know, like a Nalgene bottle, like the couple I have laying around? It's just a metal one.
I hate people when they use brand names.
Just... I mean...
I don't know.
Well, I honestly, never mind.
I have personal reasons for not liking the name Clean Canteen, and it's mainly because of fucking Kevin Smith's wife.
Oh.
She keeps spilling she leaves a clean canteen by her fucking bedside and then spills it on her fucking laptop, which is how she went through like 5 laptops in 2 years.
She has that? She has a clean canteen?
Yeah. She goes hiking a lot.
Oh, well, then, yeah, that's...
yeah, she hikes in the fucking, this one, like, nature reserve park canyon. Grunion Canyon. She hikes Grunion Mountain. She hikes Grunion a lot. It's out there in L.A. where they live.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. We got to wrap it up before we have to have a 2-part episode.
I know.
First five, second fives.
Number five, cordage. It's your turn.
Oh, it is mine. Cordage. Sure, you can fashion rope from plant materials in the backcountry. But why expend the time and effort if you don't need to? Carry a good 100 feet of 550 cord, which can assist in the dizzying array of tasks. A lot of survivalists have standardized all on the 550 cord. I don't really see a problem with like having a variety of things. There's a YouTube guy, and maybe one day I'll show you some of his videos, some of his shorter videos, because this guy like has some amazing like 40-minute long videos. You know, sometimes YouTube is like my TV, so I enjoy like a 40-minute long video sometimes. Some people are like, 2 minutes, that's all I want to watch. And I'm like, no, 40 minutes, I can do it. So he a lot of his videos, he would go out into the backwoods with like the tiniest kits ever, like the tiniest like little backpacks and stuff, and build these amazing like shelters. Like a lot of it, he had like big hanks of rope, like in Boondock Saints. Like, he'd carry, like, a big hank of rope like that and make, like, fucking hammocks from, like, rope and trees and shit.
Fuck you! You're the rope-toting Charlie Bronson wannabe that's getting us fucking lost.
Yeah, what is his name? Fun in the Woods or, Survival that Monkey One or something?
That sounds so gay. Fun in the Woods.
Yeah, Fun in the Woods.
Let's go have some fun in the woods with my Bob.
Yeah, Survival Monkey or something? His YouTube channel has a dumb name. Bob Brightner Monkey. But yeah, he carries like these big like chunks of rope, and it works for him, you know. Like, and I don't mean like 100 feet. Like, he's carrying like 500 feet of rope out there and shit.
Well, I agree, as far as 550 cord goes, I think I've discussed this on the show more than once, probably, but I'm gonna fucking say it again. My bug out bag came with a shoulder strap. I took the shoulder strap off of that, put it inside the bug out bag, and me and my wife made a new shoulder strap out of braided 550 cord. It's like a couple hundred yards of it turned into a shoulder strap. So I carry my cordage on the outside.
Yeah.
And I've got cordage on the inside. Yeah, it's funny because for the longest time, and I need to do this with these pair of shoes, every time I get a new pair of shoes, I replace the laces with a 550 cord. It's a tip I picked up from Mike Hawk, who we hope to get on the show one day.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny, but I don't get rid of the old shoelaces. I throw them in the bug out bag.
Yeah, unless my shoelaces become like super trashed, I usually will keep them around for stuff.
I'm talking about when I get a new pair of shoes, I'll take the brand new laces that haven't been used, throw them in the bug out bag, and use the 550 cord in my shoelaces. That way, I've got 550 cord right there. Actually, available.
I've seen them, and I thought about ordering some when I get a better pair of shoes. But there's some people that make specialized 550 cord
shoelaces. Oh, that's
awesome. But. So is it 5 inner strands, 5 or 6 inner strands? But they've either made room. It's not like they didn't like go procure it. They made it like, and it's either like missing some of the inner strands, or they made it bigger to have room because in the middle of it there's a strand of specialty fire cord. It's kind of like flash paper.
Interesting.
So, and instead of like the plastic little inserty things on the end, like they keep it, it's like ferrocerium rod. So basically you have badass. Like fire starting, like, yeah, you have like tinder and ferrocerium rod right there.
Oh, that's badass.
Yeah, so.
I like that.
It was like, I don't know, it's kind of expensive-ish, but it was like, if you need it, you need it.
It's definitely a niche market.
Right. And last thing to say real quick before we move on, I am really a fan of Tard Bankline. I mean, you can get it in like 500 to 1,000 feet spools. They're pretty small, don't take up any room, and you just throw the whole spool in your backpack or in your kit. 46 minutes, yeah, we're running a little long. Let's move on.
Okay. The second 5 Seas of Survival in the event of contingencies in the wilderness, the remaining 5 items of the 10 Seas of Survival can be immensely helpful to have on hand. Number 6, candle. It's all too easy to forget about illumination source when preparing for a day on the trail. If you're stranded for whatever reason, the onset of night is a real threat. You can quickly hurt yourself fumbling around in the dark for kindling or water. Having more than one source of light is best. A headlamp is particularly convenient, but bring candles along as well. You know why? Because candles' batteries don't go dead.
Yeah, so his wording is kind of funky just to make it seize, but candling, illumination. I've thought of 2 things recently. We could talk about fucking flashlight illumination things all day long. But for mini kits, I had 2 ideas recently that I think would be perfect. Because
birthday candles?
Birthday candles and crayons.
Oh, yeah, remember? Purpose. We did that fucking, we did that test on the crayons.
And it works.
We didn't believe it. Yeah. In a fucking pinch, a crayon can be used like a fucking candle. It's essentially a candle, but inside out.
Yeah.
Because you're burning the paper on the outside, but the wax that's on the inside is keeping it burning slower.
Right.
Because the paper itself is coated in wax on the inside. It's like a candle that's surrounded by its own wick.
Yeah.
And it works. It fucking works. We've done that. And plus, you've got
something. You can write.
Yeah, you can write with crayons.
And, I mean, to be honest.
You can mark a path.
It's wax.
And
has a lot of uses.
Oh, yeah. Plus, you can mark a path through the fucking woods.
Yeah.
Like, you can mark your way into someplace by just taking fucking big red X.
You can seal stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah.
Crayola
had no idea they were making gigantic fucking survival kits, did they?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure you can, like, rub it on your lips and keep them from, like, chapping. I mean, it's not the best, but I bet you can do it.
No, it's not the best, but, I mean, hell, wax is wax. I mean,
yeah.
And it can be very fucking useful. Anyway, let's move on to number 7.
Cotton. It's no weight or space burden to stuff a few cotton cloths or bandanas in your pack. A level of convenience that belies the versatility they display in the backwoods. From bandages to signaling flags, from fire starters to head coverings, cotton bandanas are deceptively multi-use. Yes.
I've got a bandana really in my pack.
Yeah. It's much like the time-honored towel. Never leave home without your cotton bandana, my friends.
Yeah, I also, like, anytime I'll get a pill bottle, you know, open up a new bottle of pills or whatever that I buy.
The cotton wadding?
Yeah, the cotton wadding. I take that out and fucking put it in the pack.
There you go.
Yep. I mean, because you never know when that shit's going to come in handy.
Yeah, I mean, dryer lint's good for that, too, but it kind of stinks sometimes.
Yeah, dryer lint can really stink. And the problem with dryer lint, it smashes down so fucking flat and breaks up. But it is, it's insanely flammable, so it's really good for fire-starting tinder.
Yeah. Oh, and they didn't really mention it here, but and we're going back to the mini kit a lot because that's sort of like one of the hardest to really pick for. If you take everything out of your mini kit and take your cotton that you have in there, like your bandana or your square of cotton or whatever, and then you put it in your mini kit, your Altoids kit, mm-hmm. close the lid, throw it in your fire, take it out in a little while.
Yeah. Oh.
You've got char cloth.
You do. You have char cloth, which works great on like a fire piston.
Yep.
Which is something that's small enough that can be kept in a pocket.
Exactly.
All right. Number 8, compass. There are plenty of methods for orienting yourself in the wilderness, from keying into the wheel of constellations to tracking the sun's shadow. But bringing along a durable compass with a sighting mirror gives you an unfailing tool for precise navigation, one that really doubles as a signaling mirror. Now, I can fucking tell you something about compasses. They're not unfailing tools. I've broken plenty of compasses. If you're going to get a compass, invest in a good compass. Don't just get the first cheapest fucking Dollar Tree compass that you could find.
Yeah, Dollar Tree, no.
Those will break so fucking quick.
The globe ones usually tend to be pretty shitty, in my opinion. So Walmart and like some of the other retailers, like they have the Silva brand. Silva is decent. I don't have one with the mirror in it, but the mirror is good. This is what you get what you pay for here.
Yeah. I mean, and plus, get on YouTube when you got a chance. You'll actually find a bunch of videos where people can make compasses out of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not that fucking complicated. That's one of the things you need to learn how. If you don't have the stuff, you need to learn how to make the stuff.
I think we should do an episode on orienteering, which means we'd have to really teach ourselves orienteering really well.
We should do that. Number 9, James.
Cargo tape. This is one of those that irritates me because they're sticking to the C naming format.
Yeah, he's desperate at this point.
Yeah. From injuries to pack malfunctions, a roll of duct tape, which literally he doesn't even call it cargo tape. Like, cargo tape is a thing, but no, it's just tape, duct tape, or Gorilla tape, serves as many functions in the backcountry as it does in the garage. So,
ironically enough, you know what the one thing duct tape is not that good use?
Duct work.
Yeah, duct work.
No, it's terrible for duct work. So, sometimes in my kits, like, everyone knows, like, duct tape and then, and stuff. But, so, let's back up. You know how, like, if you take your tape and then you wrap it around, like, an old, like, membership card or old bank card or something, like, you get the flat, you don't have that roll in there, it's good for storage. We talked about this, I think, in the last episode. But memberships also sometimes, like, they'll give you, like, that whole, like, thing of cards to punch out. Like, you have, like, usually two, like, full-size cards and, like, a key ring card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So sometimes in a lot of my kits, I like to take that key ring card that I don't use and wrap, like, black or colored electrical tape on it. Because it's about the right size.
You mean these?
Yes, those that you have a million of.
Yeah, I've got them for everything. I've got them for, like,
I just throw them
AutoZone and Goodwill and PetSmart and Kroger's and Lowe's and all sorts of shit.
Yeah, so I take black electrical tape because unlike duct tape...
Never use any of them.
The electrical tape has some elasticity to it. So you can actually use it to compress things together, which I like.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for like joining things to keep them like stuck together. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously tape is getting stuck together, but if you want like
stuck together,
compression, you know, you can get the stuff together like that.
Right now.
And for those little cards like that, I like to take off my my medical tape. You know, like you're taping wounds and taping. Yeah, I put that on there too instead of having a roll of it.
Well, there you go. It flattens it out.
Yeah, like the 3M medical tape, I can just put them on that and just get rid of the roll in the middle.
Yeah, like in my fucking tin kit, the Altoids tin kit that I have, which is a little bit bigger than an Altoids tin, but whatever. The pocket survival tin. I've got, you just used some of it earlier, my fucking duct tape.
Yeah.
That's on I used to give, I cut a gift card in half and wrapped it around.
So you have as much, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
All right, and number 10, canvas needle, also called a sail needle. Yep, once again, desperate to use a C. This little tool can be employed to repair clothes or shelters, act as a makeshift compass, like I was just talking about, dislodge nasty splinters, and for other delicate, high-precision operations.
Yeah. So I have a sewing kit that I have in, like, one of my kits, but for the most part, like, I usually, like, that's, like, the needle is usually what I tend to omit for my kits, like, if I'm running out of room or something, like, budget.
I've got several sewing needles in my tin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My boat.
Yeah. I find that I don't need them as often, so especially if I'm running out of room, I'm like, fuck you, sewing kit.
Well, you know, I always decided if I was ever going to have a survival kit, I would have to include needles in it because of First Blood, the first Rambo movie when he was sewing himself up in the woods. I'm sorry, that's just such a badass scene when you're a kid to watch that. Fucking rips himself up, jumping, you know, fucking down those trees.
I thought he poured gunpowder in there and cauterized it, but he sewed himself
No, he didn't pour gunpowder in it. That happened in a fucking Clint Eastwood movie where he had an arrow through his shoulder. No, but I remember he was fucking getting into his fucking survival knife, which that movie was the number one reason people bought survival knives.
It is.
Getting fucking sewing up his fucking bicep. And you're like, he is a man. And now, growing up, I'm like, he is an actor.
Yeah.
But yeah, those were the 10 C's. Of Canterbury's?
Yeah, so...
Survival.
That is...
I wonder why he went with C.
Oh, yeah, good point.
And also remember the prepper P's. Proper prior planning prevents piss poor performance.
Yeah, so that's like... That's how I build my kits. Like, I build them around those, and then I build out. Dave Canterbury, he really doesn't give a fuck about first aid. Like, he's terrible about it. And
I did notice there's like except for like the needle at the end, there's nothing like first aid.
And the tape, he's like, oh, you can tape yourself up. Like, Dave Canterbury's just not that big on it. And I like to have,
And I would recommend for first aid.
I like a good first aid kit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, part of my bug out bag is a first aid kit, and anything first aid I can find, I throw in that thing.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, this had nothing to do with C's, but I always, this could be a C, crazy glue. Or super glue or stuff like that can be used to seal up small cuts and stuff like that. So
yeah, I have a bigger first aid kit and then like boo boo things and so like
boo-boo
yeah. If you have that as the core of your kit and then you expand from there to some people are like and I really can't fault them like if that's your shit then that's what you gotta do. Some people are like they want to carry pillows. Inflatable ones, sort of mashy ones, and like, it's comfort. Like, especially in the hiking pack, like, if you want to carry a fucking pillow, if you've got room for it,
if you've got room for it, more power to you.
But
don't leave out necessary shit for your pillow.
Yeah. So make sure you have these 10 and then you build on. Some people are like, they're posting pictures of their bug out bags. And they have all their survival gear, and they're trying to cut weight or whatever. And then they have, like, a full King James Bible or, a miniature one. And to them, that is, they have to have that. That's them. That's, more power to you. You should have that.
My personal rules for having a pack, kit, whatever, make sure you got the essentials. In this case, like the 10 C's. Those are essential. A really good first aid kit. Whether it be store-bought or improvised or whatever, but a really good first aid
with any maintenance medication you need for survival.
Exactly. If you're on regular meds, make sure you have at least a week's worth of that shit in the fucking kit. Because happens.
He doesn't mention food really in there. He mentions a way to store water, but no food, and you should have 72 hours worth of food.
I would recommend, several... I've got MREs in my damn bug-out bag.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I mean, I've proven recently you could not eat for 3 days.
What?
I said I've proven recently you can go 72 hours without eating. But
yeah, I mean, so get your 10 C's, get your fucking first aid kit, and what he said, I can't remember what it is now. I know you just said it. I'm getting old.
Medication.
Yeah, medication, food, and after that, all that leftover space in there, that's just gravy. Just put whatever you want in there.
Or don't. I mean...
Or leave room for other stuff that you might need that might come in handy.
Yeah. What are the weird Matt
French acids, and I think I forgot about it. But one of the weird things that I put, I think, in all of my bug out bags.
Is this our listener question?
No, I don't know if we have one. I don't think we do. But no, this is like a follow up to one. Like, what weird, unusual things do you put in your bug out bags? A lot of places, like, they'll have, like, I don't think it's as much as anymore, but I bet you can find them online. Like, everywhere I used to have, like, those buy your own grocery bags to bag your own groceries with. And yeah. It seems like now it's not quite as much, but you can still find them. There was a grocery bag at Walmart that collapsed in on itself to become, like, a pouch. Like, so it was, like, the size of, like, God, like.
My penis?
No, it's. It was like a, little bean bag almost, but light, like super light.
Your penis.
And you just pulled it out, and it made like a giant, like a good sized shopping bag.
Penises.
And I just like to have that extra.
Penis.
Okay, stop it now. that extra ability to like pick stuff, like I used it one time on a camping trip to just go collect wild edibles. You know, because I don't want to carry around my whole pack, so you have like. Like a haversack, like an extra sort of pack to carry stuff in. Like you park your main pack at home, and then you can carry around a few things or pick up things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's well, let's move on. We got to wrap this shit up.
What's our time looking like? Oh shit, we're at the hour mark, and we still have several things to talk about.
What's next?
Our survival thingy, the Fox Outfitter Micro Soft Towel.
Yes, not Microsoft, but Micro Soft.
They should have named it the soft micro fiber. I don't know. Microsoft.
Yeah. It's so here, Mike. Have a grab that and see what you think.
I hate the feel of Microsoft. At least, fuck. I hate the feel of microfiber or anything. It wants to cling to me.
No, I don't mind.
I've had like microfiber, like car cloths and stuff like that. They feel exactly like that.
Oh yeah, I like this one more than this one that feels like a shim and just doesn't really absorb very well.
No, this yeah. This one feels better. I don't like that one. I mean, that's probably a lot more effective at what it does. I just, personal preference,
which
I don't
like. Which is weird, because it sort of has that sticky, clingy feel wet, but when you're, no, dry, but when you're toweling off when you're wet, like, it tends to wipe off and dry a bit better. Like, whereas, like, the shimmy type ones, they get wet and they're like, they just want to stick to you. You're like, you're trying to drag it across that's your skin.
Fucking weird.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever used like a car shim?
No.
It's weird.
You know I don't wash my car.
Well, I mean, you may have came across like it's like.
I came across a lot of things, but it wasn't my car.
It's like, it's weird. It's like leather that like you get it wet and then like it's just weird material. I like it. It is. I mean, light for that size that the towel is.
Yeah, it's light.
It's light. It's very absorbent. I towel it off. I took a shower with it. I towel it off. It wasn't completely soaked, which was a problem I had with some of the smaller ones. And
which is, you know, a normal bath towel would be soaked.
Well, no. I know normal bath towel, like, you would have a couple of corners that are, like, wet, but not the entirety of the towel.
Well, I usually start toweling off, you know, while the water's still running.
Uh-huh.
Saves me time.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it dries very fast, which, I mean, obviously every camp pack towel, they dry very fast.
Camp pack towels, they dry real fast. Doo-dah.
Yep. So, I like it. It's worth a check out. What's it selling on Amazon for? It's
$300,000.
And it's like $9 for a single one.
Well, $9.99 to $29.99, depending on, you know, who you're buying it from.
Select. That's a bit
size.
Yeah,
but starting at like $10, that ain't bad.
Yeah, it's size.
I'm sure you spent more on bed sheets.
Yeah, and
Egyptian cotton, 5,000 thread count.
Yeah, for bug out bags, maybe a towel is not your biggest priority. For a camping day pack towel, it's just good to have. I mean,
there you go.
Yeah.
Alrighty, now it's time for our nutrition punk segment. Grass fed beef.
We will not read this entire article. We will skim through it. I will skim through it anyway. This comes from foodandsunshine.com.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They sound neat.
It's food and it's sunshine. Yep. Whoa!
Buying and cooking grass-fed beef. Grass-fed beef is a staple of the paleo diet, rich in healthy omega-3s conjugated. Yes. Conjugated It feels like that's not the word that's supposed to be there. CLA, yeah. Conjugated linoleic acid, CLA. Yeah. Vitamins, antioxidants, omega-3s are vital to cell, heart, and brain health. Grass-fed beef also has less total fat than its conventional counterpart.
Fuck you!
Traditionally raised cattle eat
a grain. I thought you were supposed to have high fat.
Well, it's... And it's quality, too, though. Like we're saying these are omega-3s instead of omega-6s. Traditional cattle raised in a grain-heavy diet, predominantly GMO corn, which will increase the fat content and make it a heavier cattle. I'm not a calorie counter, but a grass-fed steak is about 100 fewer calories than an identical grain-fed steak due to these differences in fat. Cattle are not meant to eat grains, which changes the nutritional profile in the protein and the fats we consume.
Aside from the health and wellness, my husband and I, oh my God, they made me gay. My husband and I are drawn to a primal lifestyle because of the focus on environmentally friendly and clean living. Gary studied environmental science and policy in college, so
we don't give a shit about them.
No,
get,
we don't.
Get to the meat and the potatoes here. The grass-fed meat and
that's
potatoes.
An Australian cow.
It is very skinny, and that's...
That's what the way the cows in Australia look like.
Yeah.
Choosing quality beef. Use the following list to prioritize your beef purchases. Number one, 100% grass-fed, pastured-raised beef or wild-hunted. This is the mecca of beef. You can eat both fatty and lean cuts, organ meats, and marrow. Save the bones to make nutritious beef broth. Look for labels that read 100% grass-fed as products labeled grass-fed with that 100% prefix may be finished on grain and does not have the same nutritional profile as 100% grass-fed beef.
Yeah, some people are tricky. Like if you go to places like, I think, Whole Foods and Publix. Publix is bad about this. They'll have grass-fed beef, but it won't be grass-finished, and it'll still be more expensive than,
what's the difference?
They raise them on grass, and then they finish them fattening them up on grains at the end to make them heavier, so they make more money.
So but then it ruins it. So raise them their entire life on grass, and then right at the end, right when they're getting ready to slaughter them, they fatten them up like a Christmas goose.
Yep. And it pretty much... ruins the health benefits.
Well, yeah.
Probably a decline.
Think about it this way, goddammit. I mean, if you eat a very healthy fucking diet and are in top physical shape for the first 40 fucking years of your life, and then all of a sudden you start eating nothing but fucking ice cream and cookies for a month, your health's going to go in the toilet.
Yeah.
That's what's happening to those cows.
Pretty much, yeah.
You're eating sick cows.
Yeah. And
you know, fucks.
And people are tricky about the labeling, which is
fat
annoying.
Fucks.
Number two, USD certified organic beef. So this would be like your second tier here. Organic beef is raised on pasture for the majority of the growing season, but feed may be finished or supplemented with organic grains such as non-GMO corn. Antibiotic growth enhancers, confined operations, and feed additives are prohibited. Omega-3 levels will be lower than 100% grass-fed, but is substantially better than conventional beef raised. Like grass-fed, you can consume all the cuts.
Local beef. 100% grass-fed or organic local beef is ideal, but even conventionally raised local beef can be a good option. Most small local farmers raise their cattle on the pasture for the majority of the growing season, even if they are not following organic spraying and feeding practices. The quality is much better than CAFO beef, supports your local communities, and is usually much cheaper than other options. Conventionally raised local beef is a great choice for someone looking for a middle-of-the-road option.
Yes, and before I read number four, I just want to say that these people have a paleo shopping list to get your stuff at Aldi's, which I bet, and I'm gonna read it, I bet it's pretty awesome.
Aldi, I'm going off topic here, Aldi is fucking really surprising.
They're becoming pretty badass.
They are. I mean, especially when it's the store you're like, oh, it's the cheap store where they don't have any, like, name brand products and everything's cheaper. Yeah, that's how they get you in the fucking door. But then you get in there and you're like, half their fucking stock's organic?
Yeah. Yeah. So I only buy my coffee from Aldi's now. And you're like, James, why do you only buy your coffee from Aldi's now? Because what is it, 9 or 12 ounce bag? A standard bag of coffee that you would get, I want to say it's 12 ounces. I get Organic Fair Trade Dark Roast Coffee, $3.99. $3.99 for fair trade coffee.
God damn.
Yeah.
All this is fucking amazing. I give them my full endorsement.
Yeah.
They're not paying me to do so, but maybe they
should. They're badass, yeah. So, yeah. Concentrated Animal Feeding Operations, CAFO, raised beef is the meat you will find commonly in the grocery store. I read that out of order to make more sense to people.
Yeah.
And so the practice is confining animals during the growing season, usually longer than 45 days. Animals are confined in small areas without vegetation and are fed grains and animal byproducts to fatten them up before going to
slaughter. Whoa! They're fed, like, these are cows that are fed animal parts?
Cows and other, like, if you see the chicken houses, they're like prison cells, like, on top of each other, beside each other, they're pooping on each other.
Yeah, I've seen that shit. Thank you fucking Pamela Anderson for those videos, by the way.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, god damn, I didn't realize they were feeding them animal byproducts.
That's what caused mad cow disease.
Yeah, it's fucking beef's eating beef.
Yes.
That's fucking forcing cannibalism into, I mean, yes, okay, it is true that fucking cows, like most things that we consider herbivores, are opportunistic omnivores, and will eat small amounts of fucking other dead animals if it's convenient for them, but doing that on the regular?
Yeah, and cannibalism generally tends to lead to bad things. Like
have you ever, okay, like, there's
what's the human disease?
Kuru. I was about to bring that up. Kuru, which comes from, the only cannibals get it, and it's from eating human brains.
And it's very zombie-like.
Oh, yeah! It will drive you fucking insane!
Yeah.
Anyway.
Due to the unsanitary, cramped, confined living areas, animals are at risk, are at an increased risk of disease and illness, resulting in an increased antibiotic use. CAFOs increase the risk of water quality problems to surrounding areas due to the concentration of animal waste. Yeah. If you look at some of these CAFO buildings, like, around them, it's like fucking, like, toxic waste death zones.
Yeah, it's like a fucking post-apocalyptic nightmare.
It is. Pathogens, antibiotics, pesticides, hormones. CAFOs also affect the air quality, decrease surrounding property values, and raise animal welfare concerns. Conventional raised CAFO meat should generally be avoided, but can be consumed if you have budget or availability limitations. Opt for leaner cuts and trim the excess fat, as this is where a large amount of the toxins are. Yes, yeah, so when you eat toxins, the toxins are stored in your fat. When you lose weight, those toxins flood you. That's why a lot of times when you start losing a lot of weight, you kind of feel shitty for a while because you're flooding your body with toxins. And you feel better afterwards. Cooking grass-fed beef, we'll let you read this from foodandsunshine.com. They're going to give you, like, the FDA things for liability issues. I don't care about that.
A little chart, buying quality beef, how to save money. You know, we could always talk about this, like, on the next episode.
I thought about writing a paleo budget thing, because, like,
You know what? If you want to learn more about the grass-fed beef, stay tuned on the Survival Punk website, where my co-host here, the founder of the Survival Punk website, will be releasing an article all about this, the stuff we didn't get to talk about, in the upcoming future.
Yeah. I have a lot of tips and tricks to, like, because I saw this company... called Butcher Box that was like grass-fed beef subscription service delivered to your door, and it was like ground meat and then like cuts of like steaks and they have other add-ons too, like chicken and bacon and shit. And I was looking at it and I was doing like a price per pound sort of analysis to see if it was, so the box is $129 and the frequency doesn't have to be a month, the frequency can be up to 3 months, which would, you know,
mm-hmm,
break down to being, what, 60? No.
No, that's not right.
40? 40 bucks?
Something like that. I can't do math right now.
Yeah. Whatever.
I feel depressed. I want to shoot something.
Yeah, so whatever it was, like, I was thinking, so I buy 2 pounds of grass-fed beef every 2 weeks at this organic grass-fed beef from, so Walmart and Aldi's and Publix all have organic grass-fed, grass-finished beef for $6. $5.98, $6, under $7.
Okay.
All of them for 1 pound. Which you're thinking, you know, normal grass-fed beef, 80-20 is probably $3.99, $4 or whatever. Ground round is probably about
$5, $4 in there. Anyway, so yeah, $6. So two packages, $12, $24 a month.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm like, $24 a month. So, and that doesn't count. Like, I do eat some additional meats. You know, I'll buy like steak or some cuts of this and that. But even if I double that, so $24, even if I'm spending $50 a month, this is still over twice that to get this butcher box to have, you know, I want to say it was 10 pounds of meat-ish. It wasn't even a set quantity. And I was like, no. So go to your local store and buy it there. Aldi's has it for sure. We'll talk about that later on. And do we have anything else? Do you have a rant? You have a rant.
Yes, it is time for Mike's rant.
At 1:14, we're going to have a long episode.
Yes, this is going to be a long episode. And this week, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Mike's rant. And what is Mike ranting about this week? Well, Mike, that would be me, I'm a big fan of old movies. Movies from the 70s, 80s, sometimes the 90s. And I was recently looking for a movie I have not seen in fucking forever. It is a George Hamilton Dracula movie called Love at First Bite. Great movie. I recommend it to anybody. Well, I was on Amazon looking for this because I had recently come into some free Amazon money. And I found something interesting. I was looking for a DVD of this movie. And the only DVDs I could find of this movie by itself... Now, I found this on a combo pack with another movie called Once Bitten, starring Jim Carrey back in the day, one of his first movies. And it was like $15.98. But I'm like, what? Can I just find a movie by itself? Maybe it'll be cheaper. Well, the only other option I had on there was the movie by itself on DVD, not even Blu-ray DVD, and it was $95.
$95 for a goddamn DVD!
And the reason for this... Oh, it had one song in it that the other releases of the movie had removed from it. This disco song, I Love the Nightlife. I love the nightlife. I like to boogie on that. Yeah, whatever. And that makes it $95. And that's not the thing I'm ranting about. Yeah, I'm ranting about that because it's goddamn stupid, almost $100 for a goddamn DVD. But he was selling them like fucking hotcakes. People with more money than you have fucking brains. Fucking stop it. The whole fucking reason he can get away with selling $100 DVDs is because of idiots like you. Stop it, goddammit. If you're really that desperate to hear the watch the fucking movie with the original fucking song in it, buy the goddamn song off of fucking iTunes and listen to it when that fucking scene's playing, because guess what? There's no dialogue in that fucking scene anyway. Well, I'm Mike and I'm ranted the fuck out.
Yeah. What a bunch of bullshit. Yeah, $95. Better be like a box set with like two seasons.
Okay, for $95, the goddamn fucking DVD better turn you into a vampire.
I saw that Wish, that Chinese website, has DVDs. I saw like Supernatural season something on there.
Oh my god.
I wonder how bootleg that shit is.
Oh, it's gotta be bootlegged as hell.
Yeah, I saw like a lot of like the exercise training DVDs, like P90X and shit, like knockoffs. Or, like, it was interesting. I thought I'd do an article on that sometime later. And on that bombshell!
It is time for us to end. So, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sickone Burnett.
And suck my cockuccino.
DIY!
Just DIY, motherfucker.
DIY to be an anti-Clinton researcher!
You scared!